The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on today's show, we'll be talking with Ed Schaller, who is director of the In Your Ear Big Band from Parkland College. They're going to be playing Wednesday night at 6 o'clock at the Iron Post in Urbana, and they've got a monthly gig there, as they do also in Champaign at Cowboy Monkey. They just played there last Friday. So we'll be hearing some music relative to that. And in the first part of the show, it's a musical called Married Alive, a musical comedy that, quoting from their website, charts wedded bliss and blisters from the perspectives of wide-eyed newlyweds and jaded oldie-weds. Now, that's a word I haven't heard before. And that's being put on at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. It opens on Friday and runs through Sunday the 20th of February. And John Stevens, who's executive director of the Little Theater, is with us, along with some of the music from the show.
Peanuts, movies, sodas,
meetings, dinners, quota.
Lie with me.
And with apologies for the delayed start there, if you were listening to Victor Geronimo's program, you probably heard him talking about heard the results of issues we're having with our soundboard here at the moment. We had to move our CD player to another module, and I'm just experiencing this now myself. So we had a while figuring out how it works in this new setup. In any event, that was music from the musical called Married Alive, which is going to be at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Opens Friday night at 8 o'clock. There's a matinee on Saturday and on Sunday, 2 o'clock. Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, and then next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, similar schedule. And it's just the two-weekend performance. That was a song called, as you may well have figured out, Fly to Me. And on the show with us in this portion of Live and Local, we have the executive director of the Little Theater in the Square, John Stevens.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you for having us.
You've become a virtual regular, at least for many of the shows that come up there, because you do a lot of interesting stuff, including things that don't seem to get played often other places. How did you come across Married Alive?
Well, it's kind of a long story with this one. It's very interesting. One of our kind of regular female actresses who's been with us for the last 7 or 8 years, Glory Kissel.
Is there such a thing as a male actress?
Well, no, not a male actress.
I just had to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Her daughter is a up-and-coming director in Chicago and has won some Jeff Awards, which is kind of the Chicago's version of the Tony Award, for some things that she's done, and is getting harder and harder to be able to have come and direct things. But we worked with her a couple years ago, and she did this show in Chicago at Noble Fool Theatrical in St. Charles. And she said, this is the perfect show for you guys. We've done really well with things in the same vein. Midlife, the Crisis musical, I Love You, You're Perfect Now, Change. And she said, I think your audience will really love this. And so we went with her gut on it, and she's put it together, and it actually rehearsed in Chicago. It's all, the four actors are all from Chicago, and all have families up there. So it worked well for them to be able to be home at night to be with their family. And they arrived last night late in Sullivan and are putting it all together finally today, and we open Friday. But Rachel Rockwell is the director of the show, and she's just fantastic. She's done a little bit of everything, spent a few years on the national tour of Mamma Mia, but now has completely gotten out of performing and is just directing. She just most recently directed the huge revival of Ragtime in Chicago that won 6 or 7 Jeff Awards, which is big for a Chicago show to win that many awards. And she's just a fantastic talent to have around. So we're very excited about the show.
So it's just a 4-person cast.
Just 4-person cast, 2 keyboards, and I said to her, I said, well, you know, we can jazz this up and bring in a, you know, whole pit orchestra for it. And she said, no, the simplicity of it is what makes it work so well. So to my ears, that was fantastic because that meant I'd save some money in the long run. But and I wasn't for sure to begin with. And then now that I have heard some of the stuff as it's coming together in rehearsals, it really is the simplicity of the set, the simplicity of the costumes. Everything's very simple, and it's just a piece that speaks for itself with the actors. And it's silly and it's fun, but it also has a lot of heart to it. And I think anybody who's ever been in any type of relationship will agree with many of the sentiment that it brings across.
So you said it rehearsed in Chicago. How often does that happen where you rehearse a show not in your own space?
It very rarely. It presented many obstacles. Communication is much harder when I'm not able to be there, and if something's going wrong or even if something's going right. And I had part of my team up there. My musical director was up there. My stage manager was up there. But not having them in my space made a lot of challenges. So, but it worked really well for getting the actors that we wanted for the show because they are perfect for the show. They're fantastic in the show. And it was a hard show to cast because they had to be able to belt their brains out with some of these songs and be really stellar, both comedic and dramatic actors. So that was hard to cast.
And how did you find them?
Rachel found them in a series of auditions in Chicago. And 3 of the 4 she worked with in her previous production of this, but had to re-audition more mature female role in the show, and is actually happier with Kathy, who she's brought in to do it this time than before.
So tell us the story, if you know it.
Well, the story is based off of a book called From Niagara to Viagra. and it is 2 couples, a very newlywed couple, and then a couple that's been married for 25 years. And they go through the stages of life from a newlywed couple, and the scenes are kind of broken down in sex year 1, how that works for them, sex year 5, how it's starting to dwindle, sex year 10, and then sex year 25, going in with the more mature couple. Not that they're old by any means, but they're 15 years or 20 years older than the younger couple. And just how they deal with things, how they deal with kids, how they deal with paying the bills and making sure that they have the money that they need to do what they need to do. And the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs most definitely of married life or any relationship.
Do the 2 couples interact, or is it always
they do interact a lot? When they interact, most of the time it's the younger couple is playing the children of the older couple. So the younger couple really has their work cut out for them because they play a standalone couple on their own in some scenes, but in other scenes they play the children of this older married couple.
Oh, so it's not that the younger married couple are the children of the older
one. No, they're
just playing two different
characters. Yeah, play different characters.
Oh, well, that would be a challenge. Do they have to crawl around on their knees and act like kids?
Well, they act like spoiled teenagers. and, you know, if you've been married for 25 years, you're bound to have some spoiled teenagers who think that they know everything and can rule the world. So that's the challenges of the show.
Well, let's hear another song from it. One of the challenges that you told me in advance about having it rehearse elsewhere is that you haven't actually looked in on rehearsals.
I have not. It's such so frustrating.
So we don't quite know what song is up next.
Absolutely.
So I've got a list of the songs, and we're going to play track 3 because I did hear a little sample of that.
Okay.
I like the beginning of it. So we'll find out what
song
it is. It's from Married Alive. Going up at the Little Theater on Friday, Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. John Stevens is with us here on Live and Local. And let's see if I can manage to push the right buttons here.
Oh, oh, oh darling, oh, darling, say that you'll wait. Oh, oh, oh darling, my darling, please hesitate.
Wherever, however you will be mine. Oh, 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 yeah.
Well, that was called Oh Darlin', according to the very first line of the song from Married Alive, by book and lyrics Sean Grennan and music written by Leia Okimoto. And that's going to be at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan starting Friday night and continuing through Sunday the 20th. And with us is John Stevens, director, executive director of the Little Theater. That sounds, I mean, when I sampled some of the show a few days ago when I saw that, you know, you guys were going to be doing this, sometimes I'm a little worried when thinking about more contemporary shows because they often tend to be a little more rock-ish, which sort of makes it difficult to play in the middle of a classical music
day. Absolutely.
And first thing I thought was, wow, this is just kind of a traditional musical.
Yeah. They definitely stuck with that when they wrote the show. And as I was telling you before, the Sean wrote the show for his wife, who was the original Diane in the show. And it premiered at the Marriott in Chicago and had its problems. But Rachel worked with Sean and Leah to kind of rework some things in it. And, you know, after it opened at Noble Fool Theatricals, they really felt like that was what they were trying to get across with it. So they were thrilled that she was remounting it for us and doing it again, because that's really what they want. They agreed with her vision of the show and really felt like she presented herself and them very well with it.
That song actually reminded me a little bit of something out of Grease.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Absolutely. That same vein with the kind of 50s rock feel or to it.
But without, you said you had told the director that, well, we could come up with an orchestra. Is it an orchestrated show or is it meant
it,
for
it
two
is
pianos?
It's just written for one piano, actually. And she had it reorchestrated for piano and synthesizer. There are some other things that needed some different sounds to it. And so we are reorchestrating it again, changing some things because we don't have the same keyboards that they had at the other theaters. So it'll be a little bit different, but basically in the same vein.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun. The looks like lyrics and music writers have teamed up on a couple of other shows, including A Dog's Life. Mm-hmm. Was that a film?
No.
It sounds like
it. That's one of their more recent things. I don't think it is.
It just sounds like a familiar title. And then Another Night Before Christmas. Do you know either of these shows at all?
I do not know Another Night Before Christmas. I have heard a little bit of the stuff from A Dog's Life, and it's adults playing dogs, literally. And it has done well in St. Louis and a couple other places, Kansas City, I know, but I don't know a lot about it.
Something that might show up on stage at a little theater?
You never know. We're always looking for something interesting. It's trying to get the audience to agree with it is a whole nother story if they want to buy tickets for it. Central Illinois audiences are sometimes a little fickle, and they want to know what they're getting themselves into, and I understand that. They want to feel comfortable with the show. They want to feel like it's going to be well worth their money, because it's not cheap to come see a show. You know, at the Little Theater, it's $30 a ticket. It's not New York or Chicago or even St. Louis prices, but they want to make sure that they're getting a good value for their money. And so we're trying to make sure to give them some meaty things, some different things, but still keep them comfortable in what they're wanting.
What are some shows that you've done since you've been at the Little Theater, which is how many years now?
I've been there 6 years now.
6 years. That you thought would really pack them in and not so many showed up, and the other way around, where you thought, well, this is kind of risky. I don't know if anybody will turn up.
Well, I'll tell you I'll start with the ones that I didn't think would do well. The Full Monty, which we thought would just do okay. It was terrible pre-sales of it, And once it opened, people found out that is not a show about strippers, which is what they think it is. It's a show about family and dealing with different types of family and dealing with being proud of yourself in whatever you're doing, and has so much heart to it. It is a beautiful, beautiful show, but also really funny and it has the little bit of edginess to it. So it's something our audience has really agreed with. Another show that did really well for us that we weren't sure how it would do was Midlife the Crisis Musical, which is in the same vein as this. One of the best-selling off-season shows, non-summer season shows that we've ever done. Played to almost 5,000 people, which is a big run for us for two weekends.
Because you don't have a big theater.
No. There's 450 seats in the theater. So we did extend that a little bit, added more performances to accommodate the people. It sold out completely. Shows that did not do well, La Cage aux Folles, we thought when we did Full Monty, they liked the edginess of it, but La Cage aux Folles they did not love. It was a fantastic production of it. Another show that did not do so well for us was a play that we did this fall, Greater Tuna, which had been done at the theater about 20 years ago and was very successful. It was not very successful this time. So we don't know if it was just the timing. We did start it sooner than we started shows in the fall before or what exactly it was. But people just didn't get into it. The people that did come enjoyed it, but it wasn't one that they went and told their friends about.
Well, that's what it often comes down to, doesn't it? Especially if it's not one that is a blockbuster right away.
Yeah.
Where it does, well, like you said, with the Full Monty, where this pre-sales were really bad, but enough people saw it and then told their friends.
Yeah, it took two performances of it before it just went crazy with sales.
Which just really supports the thing that they often tell groups in, you know, marketing, that word of mouth is the best advertising.
And also your enemy if things aren't good.
Yeah, that's right. If it was a boring show or just didn't grab somebody, said, well, I saw it, but... Yeah.
I always joke with my audiences, and I do a curtain speech before every show, and I said, if you love the show, tell all your friends. If you hate it, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. sounds like good advice.
Yeah. It seems to work for us. You know, we have fantastic supporters and fantastic patrons that, you know, are out there putting the word out about what they've seen.
So how are pre-sales for Married Alive?
Pre-sales are pretty good for Married Alive. I'm
it's a good
happy
title.
With it. It is. And coming around Valentine's Day time is always good to have these shows like this. And it will definitely win points with those for those husbands that take their wives to it, as long as they keep off of their, you know, iPhone, not watching ESPN and during the middle of the show or something like that.
Well, I would hope not.
I would hope not too, but yeah, I've seen stranger things happen.
Did you intend for this to be a Valentine's weekend show?
Yeah, we wanted it to play during the Valentine time because we find that our patrons are looking for something to do, a date night, and this is a fantastic date night.
Well, you can have an early Valentine's date or a late one, but you can't have one on Valentine's Day.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the only thing that we fell short of.
Do you always do – I'm not sure I've noticed. You always do just weekend shows?
In what we call the off season from like October through March, we always do our shows on weekends except for the Christmas show, which we do a full run of just like our summer shows.
So it's Married Alive. And well, let's hear another song from the show.
Great.
I'm going to randomly pick track 5.
Okay.
And we'll see what we come up with because the two we've heard so far really liked. So
yeah.
Odds seem – pretty favorable.
I'll go with it.
John Stevens is with us from the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan here on Live and Local.
Sprung from our loins, the spawn of our uniting, the very flower of baby ecstasy. That soul, that's the kind of baby we are found. By the way, I'm pregnant.
Two. I thought so!
That's called Oh Knocked Up from Married Alive, which opens at the Little Theater in Sullivan Friday night for your Valentine's weekend pleasure. With us on Live and Local today for this part of the show is John Stevens with the Little Theater. And coming up, we'll be talking with Ed Schaller, who leads the Parkland College In Your Ear Big Band, who are playing in Urbana tomorrow night. Starting on Thursday, WYNL and its community partners will team up again to fight hunger. And this year, for every pledge made to WYNL Radio, Common Ground Food Co-op will donate the cost of 6 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So your pledge during our 3-day mini drive. Again, it starts Thursday, supports inspiring music here on Live and Local and all our classical shows, and also helps to fight hunger here in our community. We have support for our broadcast today from Blossom Basket Florist, with flowers, plants, and creations for all occasions like weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, and Valentine's Day. Two locations at Cunningham Avenue in Urbana and Village at the Crossing, Windsor and Duncan in Champaign. The Blossom Basket does deliver. Since we just mentioned two locations for Blossom Basket and community involvement in general, I'm curious, John, to know, what communities do you seem to attract, especially to Sullivan?
Well, we have a lot of people come from Decatur, Mattoon, Charleston area, and then the smaller towns that surround Sullivan. But we figure that our full population comes from mostly a 90-mile radius around Sullivan. So upwards to Kankakee area, we have a big support following in Kankakee. We do have quite a few Champaign people, Monticello, even over to Springfield. We probably have 30 or 40 season subscribers from Springfield area, and that's a good hour and 15-minute drive from over there. So,
do you get mostly subscribers, or do you get mostly outdoor sales?
It's really 50-50. We have about, on a normal summer show, we play to a little over 5,000 people. About 2,500 of them are season subscribers, and the other 2,500 are single ticket buyers.
So a nice mix. I was just curious. I mean, in the classical music world, the conventional wisdom used to always be sell subscriptions. I don't know if that was true for theater also, but that seems to have changed a lot.
It has changed. Probably the most season subscribers we've ever had is about 2,700. Which I think that we will be close to that this year. We've got a pretty blockbuster schedule with all very well-known name shows, Cats, Footloose, Oklahoma, The Producers, and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which we were looking to build our subscribers again this summer. So
those are all summer shows you just mentioned.
And the next show that we have coming up after this is called Baggy Pants Burlesque. It's an old-time burlesque show, kind of vaudeville burlesque.
So it sounds like you save the more off the wall stuff for the off season.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now why wouldn't you trot those out in the summertime? I would think that since summer seems to be a big theater time, that maybe that would be the place for it.
We mostly do them because they are smaller shows, and it's hard to have a tech staff that I can have build a huge set for these shows that we do in the summer. We have 25 people in my tech shop in the summer, and I have 3 in the tech shop right now.
Oh, wow.
So we have to be able to have something that they can build, and it's much harder to do that, these bigger shows in our off season.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a fun show to me, and I'm even thinking, I wonder which day I could go. And hopefully some of our listeners will be thinking, oh, I know which day I want to go to see Married Alive at the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan. Opens Friday night at 8 o'clock. It runs the next, also the following Friday at 2 and 8, both Saturdays this week and next weekend, 2 and 8, and then both Sundays, the 13th and the 20th, at 2 o'clock exclusively. And for more information and tickets, you can go to thelittletheater.org. And find out about all the various shows, and not only the shows, but also a lot of the other activities, classes that they have going on. And I have had various emails that a lot of those classes have been canceled with weather lately.
We've had ice more than anything. It's been awful.
But things back up and running.
Things are back up and running, absolutely, yeah. The roads are clear. I was very thrilled that even the country roads, when I came up here today, were completely clear. So don't hesitate to get out there, and it's going to warm up fantastically this weekend.
It's supposed to.
Well,
let's see. Looking ahead here, forecast for Friday night, partly cloudy, low around 19. That's not too bad in the scheme of things.
28 when I left,
on
it was
Saturday.
4 in Sullivan.
Yeah, so it should be all right. Well, John, thanks as always for coming up.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Let's make our transition to jazz with another song from Married Alive. And this is the last song that we have on our sampler CD. We'll find out which one it is here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly.
I want is for us to talk more honestly. All I want is for us to get along. All I want is for us to speak straight from the heart. And of course, time.
Occasionally.
Sporadically.
Infrequently.
We're never.
Always Right, Always Wrong from the show Married Live at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan starting this weekend. It's live and local. Our programs today are made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713. On this part of the show, we have Ed Schaller with us. He is director of Parkland College's In Your Ear Big Band, and they're giving a performance Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, running up until about 8 o'clock at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, and they had their monthly gig at the Cowboy Monkey last Friday in downtown Champaign. They'll have their next one there on the 4th of March. And they've got monthly gigs at both of those locations. And I just learned, Ed and John Stevens were passing in the hallway, that, Ed, you've actually played in the orchestra at the Little Theater before.
Yeah, I played a few of the little musical theater productions around town. They used to do the CU Theater Company, too.
And you're a bass player?
Yep.
And
although I don't play in the big band.
Is that exclusively student or community and student players in the
It is, at this point, mostly community. I don't think we do not have a single Parkland student in the Parkland In Your Ear Big Band.
Now, how did that happen?
There was two. I mean, basically they set up a few years ago. I think Peter Rubel started the In Your Ear. I mean, he definitely started it's his name, the In Your Ear Big Band, and I just took over for him. But they wanted an audition band that would be a little bit more challenging charts along with the other community big bands. So right now Parkland has two big bands, and the In Your Ear is the more audition only. I don't want to make it sound fancier than it is, but it's mostly done. Most of the ensembles at Parkland are done as community bands.
What's the name of the other one? I'm blanking on it.
The Parkland Big Band.
and that one does have students in it.
I think it has a couple. It's John Hutchins leads that one, who plays in the In Your Ear Band.
Does Peter Rubel play in the In Your Ear Band?
No.
What's happened to him? Is he still doing stuff?
Yeah, he wanted a little, I think he just needed some time off. He'd been running this band for, I think, almost 10 years now. So I think he just wanted a little time off and, let someone else jump in. And I guess I jumped in.
You said it was his name. Where does the name come from?
Oh, it's probably his twisted sense of humor, that In Your Ear, yeah, which you have to be careful when you say it quickly.
Because, yes, you do. I wonder if that was part of
I'm sure that's part appeal. Of his, yeah. I'm sure that seems to be his humor. Yeah.
See, I was hoping there'd be some really fancy, elaborate explanation and
I think, it's just if you know Peter, you know that he's kind of a stick-it-in-your-ear kind of guy, so maybe that's where it...
And you could probably pronounce that more than one way.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably work. I've actually never met Peter Rubel, believe it or
really?
Not.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I've met his wife, but I haven't met him. I think she's been on the show before. Well, let's hear a sample of the In Your Ear Big Band. This is from when?
This is a few years old, so this is a lot of the same players. Although this would have been when Peter was still leading the band, we didn't really have any recordings. I just took over this fall. We're planning on doing some more, live recordings at some of these shows, but haven't really done any yet. So this is a few years old. I think this was done at the Iron Post in 2008, I think.
And we're going to hear track six,
which is Ain't It Wonderful, which is a Bob Kubis version of Gershwin's Swonderful.
Well, it should be kind of fun. How many are in the band?
18.
Oh, so it is a big band. It In Your Ear Big Band from Parkland College. Here we go, from a few years ago. They're going to be at the Iron Post tomorrow night in Urbana. The In Your Ear Big Band from Parkland College, recorded at the Iron Post a few years ago, maybe even several years ago, under the leadership at the time of Peter Rubel. They're going to be back at the Iron Post tomorrow night from 6 to 8. That's in downtown Urbana, under the leadership of their still relatively new director, Ed Schaller, who is with us on Live and Local this half hour. Remind us the name of that tune again, Ed?
That was Ain't It Wonderful. Bob Kubis was the arranger, based off the chord changes to Gershwin's It's Wonderful.
So specifically the chord changes, because I was going to say, I'm not sure I recognize the tune in there.
Right. I mean, it's what they call a contrafact for a lot of jazz. They'll take the chord changes of a familiar tune and then write a new tune over the old chord changes.
Contrafact?
Contrafact.
C-O-N-T-R-E,
I think.
F-A-C-T?
Something don't
like
hold
that.
Me to that.
I haven't heard that term before.
Mostly what they did, like guys like Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker did that a lot in the bebop, early bebop days, writing songs over what they call rhythm changes, which is you write a song over the chord changes to I Got Rhythm. And that's one of the more popular standard chord changes.
But if you listen, I mean, as a lay person, if you listen to a tune like that and you're told something like that, you probably wouldn't pick up on it unless you're really tuned in to chord changes.
Yeah, and some of them are easier to pick out than others. Bob Kubis does another one that we'll perform. We'll actually perform it tomorrow night, based off Witchcraft, which he calls, witch, comma, craft, and just kind of plays around with the spelling a little bit. That one's a little bit more obvious. But, a lot of these, they just kind of take different songs that are, for the old guys, it was because they were taking the popular tunes that they were comfortable soloing over, and then putting in new tunes, and that way they still had those same chord changes, but then could have a new song.
You're teaching, obviously you're teaching this band at Parkland College. Are you also teaching other classes at Parkland?
Yeah, I teach music appreciation classes. I teach intro to American music classes. And excited, I actually, we're starting a new class that I helped co-design in the fall on non-Western music.
Hmm. So what's your own background that, in order to teach these classes, you have to have a background in more than just jazz, I would think.
Oh, a little bit.
if you're going to teach intro to American music, is that mostly American popular type music?
It starts basically, it's mostly all American. I mean, you start with, some of the, pre-minstrel show music, Native American music. It's a lot of the classes at Parkland are geared not really for the popular music, because you have to be careful not to focus too much on just popular music, because there are these requirements for a lot of the other issues that the state wants us to make sure that we're covering. There's lots of background. My background, I have a master's degree in education.
Music education?
Actually, social studies.
Really?
Education. And then wound up getting moving into the music after that, where I'm finishing up a doctorate in jazz studies.
You said you have a master's in education, or did you say bachelor's?
Master's.
What's your bachelor's in?
I have a bachelor's degree in music and another bachelor's degree in history. So I've been kind of...
You're a pretty well-rounded guy here. So the music, you said music appreciation then. Does that mm-hmm. cover all genres also, including mm-hmm. classical?
Yeah. And we're in the process now of really trying to, really kind of refocus, the classes at Parkland. Because now that we have, we're going to have an intro to non-Western music. We're going to have a music appreciation, and we have our intro to American music. I think we can kind of try to find an... really narrow it down. So, music appreciation has, like one chapter on non-Western music, as if you could actually teach that in one chapter of a book. So now we're going to try to find, I think music appreciation, our focus is going to be on Western classical music. the American music class can focus more on some of the more popular American styles, such as jazz, you know, in musical theater. And then the non-Western class can focus on non-Western music, which is, it's what they call world music, but that's, don't use that term. That's a no-no term.
Why is that a no-no term?
Because there's no, because we all are part of this world. There's no such thing as world music.
Now, I think that came up on here the other day. I don't remember who we were talking to, and I had my hand slapped for using that term for the same reason. Because we're all, well, as you said, we're all part of the world.
We talk about world cuisine, so, you know, it's...
Yeah, what do you talk about? I guess you talk about a specific country or region when you're talking about cuisine. What kind of representation do you have in the classes? I mean, we talked about in the bands, the big bands, it's mostly community people. Mm-hmm. Are the classes at Parkland mostly students at Parkland, or is that a mix also?
Oh, it's students at Parkland.
I mean, I guess if you're taking a class, then you're a student. But, I mean, you could just take a class.
Yeah, but it's not, I would say it's mostly degree-seeking, moving on students more than, these are requirements. I teach, the classes I teach are for, and the ones I mentioned are all fulfill gen ed, general education requirements at Parkland in the, you know, fine and applied arts. So if you were just taking classes for fun, if you, as a community member, most people take the art classes. Most people might take the band, you know, or some of the guitar classes, you know, one of those learn how to play type classes where there's a little bit more work, I think, for the classes that I teach that, you know, it might not necessarily be the fun part. I think they're fun, though.
Well, yeah, I would think so. when you're doing the big band, the fact that it's in an academic setting, sort of, even though it's a community group, do you mostly just play and rehearse the music, or do you also try to bring in sort of educational elements to it?
You know, for our band, for the In Your Ear band, since it is an audition, you know, band that, I'm lucky in the sense that people, they can already play once you get into the, I mean, it's not really a teaching band. There is a combo class at Parkland that Kevin Hart, I don't know if you know Kevin Hart.
I met Kevin. We keep trying to get him on the show, too.
The Vibe Tribe, a great band of his. But he teaches this combo class, which is all students. And that's where, you know, and that's kind of where the Parkland students, you know, he teaches them how to solo, teaches them how to read charts, how to, you know, play jazz, basically. It's more of a hands-on, and it's for combos. It's a smaller group session. And sometimes some of those kids are good enough to make it. I mean, we've had, you know, students in the past be in the big band. So
he's, it's not exactly a feeder group for the big bands, but it could be.
It could be.
Yeah. Well, let's hear another track from, this is probably the same session from the Iron Post.
Same session. We can do.
I have track 15 up here.
Okay. That'll work. That's Rompin' at the Reno, a really quick, short little number that was a Count Basie staple back in the day.
Well, it's a great title. Ed Schaller is with us. He's leader of the In Your Ear Big Band from Parkland College. They'll be at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 6. We'll be right back. Romping, what was it?
Romping at the Reno.
Romping at the Reno. I was going to say romping at the Savoy. Isn't that another song?
Stomping at the Savoy.
Yeah, okay. That's the Parkland College In Your Ear Big Band. They're going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night from 6 to 8 o'clock. And then you got a monthly gig at the Iron Post.
Monthly, second Wednesdays at the Iron Post and first Fridays of the month at Cowboy Monkey.
And Cowboy Monkey's in downtown Champaign. And the next one at Cowboy Monkey is going to be March the 4th, and that's feature guest vocalist Darden Purcell.
Yes, that's going to be exciting for us. We've had to do some shedding. Her charts are a little bit harder.
Are they?
Yeah, they're pretty hard. So we've been working hard trying to get those tightened up.
So you're working on, well, that's not so far away, is it?
No.
How often does the band rehearse, by the way?
Once a week.
Just once a week.
But we rehearse on Wednesdays, so when we have our gig on Wednesdays, that's actually a non-rehearsal date, so.
Oh.
Yeah, so we just
So you
lose
get, have
a little
to give
bit.
Up rehearsal to do a gig.
Yeah.
Well, but it's still a great experience, right?
That's
the idea. All right, well, we'll go out with one more tune in just a minute here. I want to at least mention a few other events in your area you can go out and see and hear. The African Company presents Richard III is the name of a play at put on by the University of Illinois Department of Theater tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, and it actually continues through Saturday. The Millikan University Preparatory Department is giving a recital tonight at 6 o'clock in Kuiper Hall in Decatur on the Millikan campus. If you had tickets to Delfeo Marsalis's Sweet Thunder program at Sangamon Auditorium, that was canceled. I just noticed that a little bit ago. So you can contact Sangamon Auditorium and see about how to get deal with that. Tangled Buenos Aires is at the Krannert Center in Urbana Thursday night at 7:30. And Millikan Opera Theater presents Mozart's Così fan tutte starting Thursday at 7:30, and lots of other programs coming up on Thursday that we'll mention on tomorrow's show. And our program today on Live and Local comes in part with support from the Corkscrews Bouvon Wine Bar, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with a full list of wines from around the world, including by the glass and by the bottle. For more information, go to 217-337-7704 or at on Facebook at Bouvon Wine Bar. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.